The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Happy Hour Day, Tone. Which hour makes you happiest?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, 8 p.m., baby, bedtime. That's my happy hour.
You're dialing it back? Don't you move the clock forward? Can't you get back to 9 p.m.?
I did the first night we went to standard time. I got all the way to 9:20. I thought it was a tremendous accomplishment on my part. I really did. I was proud of myself. Welcome to PTI, kids. In today's episode, big games tonight in college basketball, the NBA, and international soccer. But we begin today with the Miami Dolphins defying my prediction and actually upsetting the Baltimore Ravens 22-10. They held Lamar Jackson completely in check. The 10 points is the lowest amount Jackson has ever produced as a starter. Tua came off the bench for Miami like he did at Alabama and looked like he did at Alabama. Wilbon, how does this game challenge your assessment of both teams?
It doesn't, Tony. I mean, part of my reaction starts with, how many times can people be shocked that the underdog team wins? That's the season. That's what sport does. You know, there's a certain number of times the favorites win, even if it's 75% of the time the underdog team wins, in this case Miami, 25% of the time. And this is not a season in which there's a great team in the NFL. There's not one in college football, don't think. Maybe Georgia will emerge. There's not one yet that has emerged in professional football. A lot of people presumed Kansas City was going to be that team. They haven't been that team. Right. Then other teams have taken a turn at the top for a minute. You know, Green Bay, you know, has taken a recent turn. Baltimore had a turn up there. We go, oh, the Ravens look like the best team. They may get back to that. It's a sport. It's a league, okay? There's only 30 of them. Everybody, even the Jaguars, can win a game or two against an overwhelming opponent. So it doesn't change anything. It was entertaining, Tom. I liked watching the game. It was a surprise, but people, let's not go crazy with how shocked we are. How often can we be shocked?
Two small things. There are 32 in this league, not 30. And Arizona has stayed on the top, and its one loss is a loss to a good team. But I'm going to move off that topic. The first thing that surprised me last night, I had been waiting for Miami. Mike, they were a 10-win team last year. And they started, you know, they were a team on the rise. If people talk about Cleveland, Miami was a team on the rise. And they were 1-7 this year, and I wondered what happened. Now, two of their wins are against the Patriots and now last night against the Ravens. So there's something pretty good there. The second thing that I wanted to mention was I felt the same way this morning about Baltimore that I felt on Sunday about Buffalo. Please stop telling me about Super Bowl teams and MVPs. Don't go there with me anymore, because both these teams lost and lost badly. Buffalo scored only 6 points against Jacksonville, and its quarterback, Josh Allen, looked bad. Baltimore scored only 10 points against the 30th-ranked defense in the league. Against Miami, and its quarterback looked bad. So I don't want to hear that. To your other point, though, I'm just going to look at the AFC, Mike. Buffalo, Baltimore, Tennessee without Derrick Henry, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Raiders, Cleveland, now New England, now Pittsburgh. I defy you or anybody else to find a favorite.
You can't do it.
They all have flaws. They're flawed teams.
And therefore, people ought to stop with how shocked they are with every single result. I mean, like you mentioned, Tone, Miami has not been so bad for so many years. They're not the Detroit Lions. And they've had a disappointing season so far, but they can still jump up and beat you, as Baltimore found out last night. We got some sexy games in the sports schedule tonight, Tone. It might be a 3-TV night if I was in the man cave, but I'm not. In college basketball, number 2, UCLA hosts number 4, Villanova. Both those teams won their openers by more than 35. In the NBA, the East leading Bulls, yes, Bulls, meet the West leading Dubs, the Warriors. And in soccer, the U.S. men host Mexico in a World Cup qualifier in Cincinnati. Tone, which of these matchups do you find the sexiest?
They're all sexy. UCLA at Pauley is always fun to watch.
Always.
And they play Villanova. They're both in the top five. UCLA has a million championships, and Villanova has two in the last 5 years. So I like this. I would like to see this. This, I think, is a test for UCLA. Pac-12 teams, let's see how good they are, and they are at home. The basketball game, going off last year's results, Mike, would be nothing at all, because neither the Bulls nor the Warriors was anything last year.
That's right.
But one
That's
team right. is 8-3, and one team is 10-1, and Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA right now again, as he used to be. And this, to me, is a test for Chicago. Can they go? It's on the road, right? Can they
it
go
is.
On the road and do well? But I'm going to surprise you here. I'm not a soccer guy. To me, the soccer is the sexiest one of all. Because this is the United States, this has something to do with the World Cup. This is for qualifying for the World Cup. This is not a friendly. This is a real deal. And these teams hate each other. They actually hate each other. And so if I get a chance to watch this one, because the loser of this is in some jeopardy for the World Cup, I assume it's on TV, I'd watch this one.
Yes, it will be on TV. If somebody says I have to stream it, then I'll just skip it. If I can't turn on and find a channel like we did for the first 60 years of television, then the hell with it. I'm excited about that matchup, Tony, because the United States has won the last two games this summer. Yet the reaction coming from the Mexico team and out of Mexico in general is, yeah, really? Because those games didn't mean anything. You look at us and you sort of want to be us, and that's true with the United States soccer team, the men's team. But this is the game you've got to win. Not all these games are created equal, particularly at a time when internationally teams zoom around the world and they play each other. Not everything is a rivalry game. This is a rivalry game. And by the way, Pulisic is just sort of coming off the bench. He's got an ankle injury that he's recovering from. There's all this interest in who's going to be playing when for the United States of America. Tony, again, in a three TV setup, I would have that on the big 80-inch screen. Yeah. Because I am interested. That game has more consequence than the others do right now in November.
Oh, I totally agree. Not only that, Mike, there's only two big games between the United States and Mexico left, because in the 2026 World Cup, Mexico, Canada, and the United States are hosting, so they get in automatically.
They all get in.
And in the 2030, which I'm not going to be around for, they go from 32 to 48, so they're both
going
to walk in. So the game in Cincinnati, and then I think it's in March, the game, you know, in Mexico. And I'm not a soccer guy. We move on.
You'll be in the attic.
Here's a story.
In 9 years, you'll be right there in the attic, taking it all in.
I'll be in formaldehyde at some point. Here's a story that's a couple of months in the offing, but it is fascinating to contemplate. The Australian Open is said to be moving towards a policy that would require all players to be vaccinated against COVID. Novak Djokovic is outspokenly an anti-vaxxer. He's the number one player in the world, and he is only one major away from having the all-time men's record. So, Wilbon, who needs whom more, the Australian Open or Djokovic?
Joker needs the Australian Open more. I mean, he's the one trying to, you know, break records and just move on and on and on and on. He's the one. He don't want to skip a major at this point, but he may be forced to. I mean, he may be Kyrie'd right out of...
Yeah.
You know, that tournament, the way Kyrie is so far out of the NBA season because he doesn't want to comply. And this is no conspiracy. I don't want to hear people say, well, why won't they let this guy? I don't want to see any signs that say, free the Joker. The Joker can be free. I mean, the Joker's got to put some medicine in his arm and then he can be free to play. He really can be. It's his choice. But I don't want to hear about how the Joker is being persecuted, like I hear, particularly here in greater New York sometimes, that Kyrie is being persecuted. No. He needs the Australian Open, all right? So there are new players bouncing up. The men's side needs those new players to bounce up like the women's side has seen with young women come to the fore in international competition. Men's tennis could use that.
If Djokovic doesn't play and Federer is not going to play and Nadal, we think, is not going to play, the Australian Open is diminished. It will be the first time since 1999 that none of those three played in a major. 1999 is before PTI and well before what we now refer to in sports as the get-up era.
Yeah,
I happen to agree with you. I agree with you that Djokovic needs it more. Here's the deal. He's 34, which is not ancient, but he is coming out of a situation at the U.S. Open where he lost to Medvedev, who's 25 and might be the next big thing. Or Tsitsipas might be the next big thing. If Djokovic says, I don't want to play because I don't want a vaccination, I would say, you want to put the hay in the barn, young man. You want to make sure you get this record on your best surface for a major where you've won nine times at the Aussie.
Man.
Nine. Let's take a break. But coming up, can Purdue knock off its third top five opponent of the season when it plays Ohio State tomorrow?
And could number one Georgia be tested by Tennessee's highly ranked, high-octane offense?
They're not in the draw with him. There's no Nadal. There's no Federer. It's yours for the taking.
He's the favorite.
You can't walk away from that.
Big favorite, Tone. He is. But I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he is. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's going to go.
Really?
I think he's going
to go. Pardon the interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Take a water break. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Crown Royal, part of Happy Hour.
We are heading down the home stretch of the college football season and have some intriguing matchups this weekend. So let's head down to Oxford, Mississippi, where we find our great friend from College Game Day, David Pollack. Let me consult my notes here for question one. We will start in the Big Ten, David. Michigan is ranked one spot ahead of Michigan State, which makes no sense to me in Wilbon whatsoever. But now Michigan goes to Penn State. Do you see the Wolverines as vulnerable at all?
100%. Very vulnerable. The last couple of times they've been there, this game has been over quick, fast, and in a hurry. Penn State, I would argue that Penn State should be a ranked team anyways. Remember, they lost to Iowa. They were up 17-3. Their quarterback goes out. It goes bad quickly. They lose to Illinois. But remember, their quarterback was coming back and getting healthy. So I think Penn State's actually a much better team than we think. Michigan has struggled. The Penn State defense is really, really good. Michigan's offense, Corum a little bit banged up at running back. Do they have enough dynamic ability in the passing game to make this a shootout if it became a shootout? I think this is a low-scoring game. I think it's a great game. I think it's a good thing for Michigan that this game isn't at night because it gets crazy at night with that whiteout when they do it. So it definitely helps them. But it's going to be a great football game.
Spotlight's on the Big Ten, Tony, this weekend. Big Ten, the Purdue spoiler makers, as people are calling them now, as you know, David, are at Ohio State, the Ohio State University. Purdue's knocked off two top five opponents in Iowa and Michigan State, beat the Buckeyes the last time the two teams played 3 years ago. Purdue's going down next week at Wrigley Field, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Does Purdue match up well, David, in this situation?
I think they do. Here's the thing about Purdue, man. They're really good. And when I say that, like, George Karloffis, their defensive end, this is the guy that literally is going to be a first-round draft pick. David Bell, a guy that's going to be a highly drafted guy at wide receiver. They've got a lot of talent. Now, Purdue is a team that can throw the football. They don't have balance on offense, which you worry about with Ohio State, the way they're rushing the passer. But here's the thing. They can make Ohio State uncomfortable. And let's be honest about Ohio State. If we're evaluating Ohio State and what they are, struggled versus Nebraska, struggled versus Penn State. They killed all the cupcakes they had earlier in their season, won by, 40-plus points. They've looked very human the last couple weeks. I think they have a lot to prove, a good Purdue team. This might be the best win they've had on their schedule so far, more to come in the future. But I'm still learning about Ohio State. I definitely don't look at Ohio State and think, oh, let's put them in the playoff like I did maybe before the season.
Well, it seems like we don't have to learn anymore about number one Georgia, David. Your guys and their dominating defense head to Tennessee to play one of the best offenses, not just in the conference, but in the country. I don't see this as a big challenge for the Dogs on Saturday, but do you see them being vulnerable in any way?
I think because Tennessee's offense is so potent, it's the second fastest offense in all of college football. They average 15 points in the first quarter. Georgia's given up 12 or 14 the whole season in the first quarter. So we're going to know right out the jump because that's when Tennessee's at its best, when you're trying to catch up with that tempo. I think Georgia can score on them. I think Georgia can run on them. So I think Georgia will run away and win at the end, but I do think this will be a close game. And listen, I'm still evaluating, just like you guys are, how big a separation there is between Georgia and everybody else. We've seen Alabama play Tennessee. We've seen Ole Miss play Tennessee. We've seen those games be relatively close games. So I'm looking forward to seeing Georgia go in a tough atmosphere. And here's the thing, Mike. This is their last test before the SEC championship game. They don't have any more tests that we're going to look at and go, that team can beat them. So excited to see what Georgia can do traveling to Knoxville with a young Tennessee team that kind of has some momentum going in their direction.
We will get you out of here on this one, David, and it's about Cincinnati. Cincinnati is number 5 in the most recent poll. They went up one. They are at South Florida. When you evaluate Cincinnati, do you honestly see them as a playoff-level team?
I think I do because this year, if we're going to start evaluating one-loss teams, which we're going to get to that point, and we're already at that point now with all the carnage that's happened in college football, we got to at least put them up there in the conversation. And I think they're really good on both sides of the football. I don't think they're elite, but I also can poke holes in Alabama, and I don't think they're elite defensively. I think Cincinnati has the best 1-2 punch in the country at corner. I think they have a really, really good offense. They got a lot of guys that are going to play on Sunday. You know, listen, they got to play better. They can't squeak out wins over Tulsa and Navy and Tulane consistently down the rest of the way. But they'll get right tonight because USF is not very good. They'll play them tonight. They'll beat them. If they keep winning, they're going to keep themselves in the conversation because I think there's more coming. Oregon's got to play Utah probably twice. Alabama's still got to beat Auburn, where they haven't won in 6 years, you know, at Auburn. So I still think that A&M and Ole Miss are going to play this weekend. I still think there's more losing to be done, and they still have that trump card where they beat Notre Dame, who's sitting there at 9 behind them.
Thank you, David. Thanks so
much. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
You can watch more of David and the entire Game Day crew on ESPN tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Let's take one last break, but still to come, will Aaron Rodgers be back to face the Seahawks on Sunday?
There's no way he won't be back. There's no way, none, he won't be back. Did 4 players really deserve to get ejected from last night's Pacers-Jazz game? That was exciting. There's some roughhousing.
Did you actually pick Northwestern? Did you pick Northwestern to win next week?
Did I stammer?
But not this week. 24 and a half down
to
Wisconsin.
Next week.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Take a water break. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Nadia Comăneci. The Romanian gymnast was there at the dawn of the explosion in women's gymnastics. First, there was the Russian Olga Korbut in Munich in 1972, then Comăneci in Montreal in 1976, and then the American Mary Lou Retton in Los Angeles in 1984. They made women's gymnastics an absolute must-watch in the Summer Olympics and paved the way for gymnasts all the way up to Simone Biles. Comăneci won 5 gold medals in all, plus 3 silvers and a bronze. She later married the great American men's gymnast Bart Conner, and they ran gyms together.
Tony, you know how when you're out and about covering sports like we have, you see a famous person like Reggie Jackson or somebody and Julius Erving, and you know you can't speak. That's how I am when I see Nadia Comăneci, the first gymnast ever to be awarded a perfect 10, I think on the uneven bars. I see Nadia Comăneci working for some television network at the Olympics. I'm speechless. She's that big a star, and we're about the same age. I can't get over it whenever I see it.
Happy anniversary, Barry Sanders. On this day 33 years ago, in his Heisman Trophy season at Oklahoma State, Sanders rushed for 5 touchdowns in a rout of Kansas. That set the D1 record for rushing touchdowns in a season at 29. Sanders ended the year with 37 rushing touchdowns, a record that still stands and doesn't count the 5 more he scored in the Holiday Bowl. In 1988, Sanders set college football records for most rushing yards, most total yards, most points, most touchdowns, and most rushing touchdowns. He had 4 games where he rushed for over 300 yards and scored at least 3 touchdowns 9 times. Pretty good, huh?
Tony, look, I know that Jim Brown had great seasons and Gale Sayers at Kansas had great seasons and Eric Dickerson at SMU, and there's people who've had great seasons. No season is better than that season that Barry Sanders turned in. Nobody's season in college ever.
Nope. Happy trails to Arizona State at the buzzer. We are doing this strictly for the video, which is tremendous. With 1.7 seconds left in their game last night, down 2, UC Riverside's Will Tattersall inbounded the ball to J.P. Mormon II, who avoided a defender and heaved the ball 60 feet in the air. Boom goes the dynamite. Down goes Arizona State, another of Wilbon's hometown schools, 66-65. I could go on about what a crushing defeat this is at home for Arizona State, but why bother? Just keep showing this video.
Tony, if people hear laughter just off the set here where I am, it's coming from Richard Jefferson, a Wildcat from U of A, who, of course, would be laughing at the Sun Devils' misfortune because that is one of those killers. People are going to remind those players at Arizona State of that shot and that loss rest of their lives.
One update, apparently USA-Mexico is on ESPN2 at 9 Eastern tonight. The Deuce, usually our home. Let's go quickly to the big finish.
Let's do
Rudy Gobert, Miles Turner, Donovan Mitchell, and Joe Ingles all got ejected after a dust-up last night. Was that deserved?
No, Gobert had to go, but not everybody else. Come on now. College football is reportedly leaning once again toward a 12-team playoff. I hate this idea, Tony. Are you excited?
No. 4 is really good. I'll live with 8. 12 is ridiculously bad. Ridiculously bad. The Ottawa Senators now have 9 players in COVID protocol. Your thoughts?
This is sort of a shock in Canada, Tony, where they have gone through seasons and the NHL went through a bubble and they didn't have this issue. And this seems sort of out there. Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, out for the Buccaneers against the football team. Is that significant?
Football team's in hard times. It's hard to think that Tom Brady won't win this game even without them. Last one, Aaron Rodgers could be back as the Packers host Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. That's a must watch, isn't it?
It is a must watch, and we know it's going to happen. Sorry, Jordan Love. The bad man is back.
Out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Richard Jefferson, and me duke it out at Countdown, 7 Eastern, your SportsCenter.
Jake Plutzer shout out. My friend Eddie's grandson.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.